Welcome to segment two in this series on the book review of The Purpose-Driven Life. Even though we've completed Letty's synthesis of the book, she wanted to add, and I thought it was a very good idea, a short synthesis of another book that follows in a similar vein. It's titled The Languages of Love, by Gary Chapman. And Letty teaches a marriage enrichment class. And so I jokingly said one day, I think after Letty has absorbed these two books, she becomes the purpose-driven wife. Would that...
Yes. And I have.
Well, Letty, introduce us to marriage enrichment and some of the concepts that you have found so exciting, especially these five languages.
Yes. Well, Larry, God really impressed upon my heart the chapter in the Purpose-Driven Life book about what matters most is love. And Galatians 5:6 says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That, it was a dagger in my heart from the Holy Spirit. You say you have faith, Letty. This is how you need to show it. And I need to learn how to love. I need to truly learn how to love the way that God loves. And I started looking at how God wanted me to learn to love and the differences in people. And I decided that where I needed to start in learning to love first was in my own home, my relationship with my husband. Though we have a good marriage, any marriage can use improvement.
Yeah.
And every marriage has issues and conflicts.
Yes.
And I started seeing God making me deal with things in my marriage in a different way than I ever had before. And at first it was very difficult. It's so easy for us to, when we get in conflict with our spouse, to, if we feel it's the other spouse's fault, to make them come make it right.
Yes.
Well, in learning to love and look, always being willing to look out for the other person's best interest, it is not in the best interest of my spouse if I let him be angry and, you know, we have a misunderstanding and we don't make it right. And at first, I really didn't want to go there. You know, when I have a conflict with my husband and I'm upset, I kind of like to sit and be upset for a while. and blame him some, you know,
yes,
for the problem.
Yes, of course.
And as God started making me see that he wanted for me to change that, here we go with that big change word again, I was led to the five languages of love book. And Gary Chapman writes several books. And understanding the languages of love I have come to know is so important. First of all, Larry, we've talked about God wanting for us to be known for our love. That
yes.
is what the purpose-driven mm-hmm. life is about.
Mm-hmm.
God's building a family, and he wants for us to be known for our love. We love God because he loved us first.
Yes.
As his followers, Larry, we have to be committed to learning to love. And
there's no other way.
There is no other way.
Because that is God's only way.
Yes.
You know, the story of good and evil is really a story of God's outward love.
That's
versus
right.
Evil, the inward love.
Yes, and this is all about that. God has put something in our nature that cries out to be loved by another. And so marriage is designed to meet that need for intimacy between a man and a woman. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 2:24, speaks of a man and a woman becoming one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that individuals lose their identity. It means that they would enter into each other's lives in a very deep and intimate way. And it would mean that God would want harmony between the two. And because I have learned who God is through his word and the incredible submission that they have to one another in order to fulfill our salvation, it has made me to understand the kind of submission that God wants in marriage. And Larry, it's not about slavery. You know, people that may not be getting along very well. And of course, we know that the divorce rate today is higher than it's ever been. I think it's less than 50% now.
It's more than 50%.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. The number of marriages that successfully remain is only about 40%.
It's a sad state of affairs.
Yes.
in our world, especially in the United States. And because the word submission brings and puts a bad taste in people's mouth. It makes me to be a slave and a servant to you.
No.
And I have no interest in doing that.
Right.
But what God is wanting to introduce through that is harmony. So the word harmony needs to be submission slash harmony, because that is what the Trinity enjoys with each other. They are submissive to each other out of love. They are happy to do for each other, and they are willing to submit what it takes to each other.
Well, how can two walk together except there be submission?
That's right. That's right. And that submission comes only through being recreated by the Holy Spirit. When we are a new creation, when we are transformed, when we go through the metamorphosis process that have been talking about in the purpose-driven life. So once we choose to love, once we choose to love, to let God teach us to love, we have to learn, Larry, how to communicate love. That is what this book is all about. How do I communicate love? And I want to share, obviously, this is my personal walk, so I have to share what it's doing in my life. In my life, as God has called me to teach, it takes up a lot of my time. So I was hearing from my husband, you know, that I was not having enough time for him and spending a lot of hours in study and at my desk and what have you. And so, you know, we sit down and have talks from time to time, and it was all about me not spending time. And I'm saying to him, okay, let's look at time and how it's spent. I wash all your clothes. I keep the house. I go to the grocery store to make sure we have good food and healthy food. I prepare healthy meals. And I'm listing all these things that I do. And I'm thinking, what about love? Are you not seeing in all this?
What is it you don't understand?
I'd rather be doing other things, but I'm willing to do these things because I love you.
Yes.
And he's saying, I don't feel loved. And I'm thinking, you're a pig. You want it all. I can't satisfy you. What the love language book has taught me, Larry, is that we all speak and receive love differently. And so I have essentially been speaking Chinese to my husband. He has no idea what I'm talking about. So you've heard me list all the things that I have done. My love language, Larry, is acts of service. That is how I show love. The book introduces five love languages. They are words of affirmation. That means some people need to hear words, kind words, words of encouragement, the attaboys, you've done a great job. To some, unless they hear the words, I love you, I appreciate you, you are wonderful, they do not feel loved. The second love language is quality time, which is what my husband discovered is his love language. So clean clothes and a nice meal don't cut it. It's taking my time, but he wants me to sit down with him. He wants time for me.
He wants one-on-one. With you.
With me.
And that's his
yes.
way of knowing that he's loved.
Yes, exactly.
And your way of showing love is acts of service.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
So guess what, Larry? Change!
I'm
learning a new language.
Going past each other.
Exactly.
Ships passing in the ocean.
That's it, Larry. And that's why divorce rate is so high today.
I see.
There's no communication of love.
Uh-huh.
The third one is receiving gifts. Some people need to receive gifts to feel loved. And I'm not talking mink coats and cars.
Yeah.
I'm talking even cards, you know, pick some flowers.
Yes.
Little things.
Mm-hmm.
that is how that person feels loved. You have taken the time to bring me something special. Even being on a walk and picking up a special stone.
Mm-hmm.
My girls like picking up what they call crystals. They're all very valuable. Shiny, beautiful rocks. Oh, this reminded me of you today and I brought it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gifts.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth is acts of service, which is a way that I love. I love by doing.
So you do things with the thought in mind, my husband will appreciate this.
Yes.
But
I'm going to do this for you.
Right. But as it turns out, it really doesn't mean much to him.
No. Unless his love language is acts of service.
Yeah.
He has an empty tank, Larry. His love tank
I
is
see.
Empty.
So, okay. So the way he wants to be loved and the way you are loving him, again, you're just going past each
that's,
other.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The fifth one is physical touch. And no, it's not about sex.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But many people need hugs.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be physically touched. When
a hand on the shoulder,
yes,
a hug.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
If your spouse's love language is physical touch and you're walking by him and he's watching TV or working on his computer and you just pat him on the head,
mm-hmm.
rub his hair,
mm-hmm.
or touch his shoulder,
mm-hmm.
that is showing love.
Mm-hmm.
So we receive love in different ways. We're all different. We're wired differently. Our personalities are different. So learning what makes the other person feel loved is part of learning to love. Larry, if we only love in our language and nobody's understanding us, we're missing out. We're wasting our time.
So in a marriage where we have two people having different languages of love, and they're not connecting to each other or understanding what the other one needs, what we have is a very lonely marriage.
A very lonely marriage. Because each one of us has an emotional tank
mm-hmm.
that needs to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
And many people have been running on empty
mm-hmm.
for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And simply, Larry, because they don't know, have not taken the time. Simple communication. Even if you've never read this book, and that's what led me to find this book, is that once God impressed upon me that I needed to learn to love further,
mm-hmm.
more,
mm-hmm.
grander,
mm-hmm.
I started looking at how I could learn to love my husband. Obviously, the things I'm doing really aren't doing anything for him.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that he needs from me?
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking of what he complains about, because that's a big clue.
Mm-hmm.
You have time for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You have time for people that call you with their problems on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You have time for, clue.
Mm-hmm.
We can find out what our spouse needs by what they are complaining about.
So the complaint is revealing in part where their needs aren't being met.
That's right. That's right. And in today's world, it's all about feelings. And people think that euphoric feeling that you have when you first meet and
mm-hmm.
love is fresh and new
yeah.
is supposed to last forever. It was never intended to last forever, Larry.
Oh, shucks.
That should be whew. Good thing. When we're infatuated at that point, before it develops and blossoms.
Yeah, well, you fall in love with love itself.
Yes,
see,
exactly.
That's the problem.
But the thing is, we have to go from falling in love to learning to communicate love so we never fall out of love.
Yes.
So for those that are thinking about marriage, or for high school and college students, this would be a great thing for them to learn at this time. It's not just for us old fogies
right,
that have been married.
Right.
Kelly and I will be married 25 years. And
congratulations.
You know, it would have been even sweeter had mm-hmm. we known about the love languages mm-hmm. 25 years ago. But the important thing to understand is that if we don't meet each other's emotional needs, we become disillusioned with one another and we fall out of love. And that's why people get divorced. Love is a choice, and it's never forced, Larry. And so forcing for people to do things for us to show us love is not where we're headed with this.
Mm-hmm.
This, because we have chosen to follow Jesus and to learn to love, let's learn how to communicate love. This is what this book's about. Choosing to love means turning my efforts outward instead of being obsessed with my own needs. Doesn't that sound very purpose-driven?
Yes, absolutely.
Same principles,
yes.
But we're going to choose to be a communicator of love. Now let's just kind of go over the five love languages.
Okay.
And I will say that if you are able to get the book, there's a test in the book for husbands and wives to take, for men and women to take,
mm-hmm.
to discover what their love language is,
mm-hmm.
for those that really want to mm-hmm. find out.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Chapman also has a website. If you just put Gary Chapman's name in there, it'll direct you to it on if you do a search. Let's talk about words of affirmation. We've talked about learning to use words that build people up. Well, if you have a love language for words, those are the words that you're looking for to feel loved. And isn't that what we should all do, is to speak words that build other people up? It's not only, Larry, about finding my husband's love language and meeting that, Kelly says quality time, but all of the love languages speak to him in some way or another. But if I'm not giving him quality time, it's not that he doesn't like my words. Sure, anybody likes to hear, wow, you did a great job, honey, thanks for that.
Yeah.
But words isn't what makes him feel loved and secured in our marriage. The quality time does.
I see.
So learning the languages is, we need to be multilingual instead of just bilingual.
Yes.
We need to learn about all the languages. So that's why I'd like to talk about each one of them.
Okay, that makes sense.
Learning to, once we start learning to listen to people, which is another concept that we just talked about, and we start listening to the things that make them feel loved,
mm-hmm.
we start looking for clues as to what makes them feel loved, because our spouse isn't the only person we're around. If we want to learn to love, God's not only calling us to love our spouse,
mm-hmm.
but to love other people.
Sure.
So it makes us aware of what their needs are, and
yes.
we can love them in the language that they understand.
Yeah.
There's tremendous power in verbally affirming someone. And for the person whose love language is words, hearing, oh, you know, you look so nice today in that dress, or you did a great job mowing the lawn, honey. Wow, it looks great. Honey, thanks for taking out the garbage. I'm talking simple things, Larry, the everyday life. I'm not talking looking for some grand thing and then applauding or, you know, verbally affirming someone. I'm talking about using words that build up and encourage and show appreciation of someone. Little things. Honey, that was a great meal. The house looks so nice today. It's called being observant. And it's so neat that we talked about that concept. Look for ways.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking and listening
mm-hmm.
at how to serve.
Yes.
We need to be, our radar needs to go up for other people. Each love language has different dialects. One of them is kind words, because the Bible says that love is kind. So if we're going to communicate love verbally, we have to use kind words with a kind attitude. Thanks a lot, honey, for taking out the garbage the sixth time I asked you. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking at kind words with kind attitudes. And we've already talked about how we have to have that attitude adjustment from God every single day. So if we get that attitude adjustment from the Holy Spirit, we're going to learn to use kind words in how we deal with other people. As far as words go, this is another thing we need to bring up here, and we addressed it a little bit in the things that drive our life. But love does not keep a score of wrongs. Love does not bring up past failures. In a marriage, there's nothing that can mess up a day worse than bringing up mistakes in the past. Because,
mm-hmm.
Larry, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
We can't erase them. We can't go back and change them. We have to...
I've often thought that reviewing the failures of the past is basically clubbing the opponent, you know, into a pulp for the future.
Yes, it's exactly right. One of the questions here that we can all ask ourselves, well, let's the one that I just said, let me just go ahead and read both of these questions. Do you mess up a new day with yesterday? Ouch. Number two, do you insist on bringing into today the failures of yesterday and pollute a potentially wonderful day? How many times do we make those mistakes?
Oh, yes.
So learning to use words in a positive, affirming way is learning to let go of the past and past failures, because we all have them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like when our spouse brings up our mistakes. We need to learn not to bring up theirs. And Larry, it's about forgiveness.
That's right.
Powerful force.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiving those mm-hmm. mistakes and choosing to act differently.
Does forgiveness mean in the marital relationship and in this language, does that mean coming to the point where it no longer matters?
Yes, it has to be. You have to be willing to let it go and move on. And you can do that by saying to your spouse, you know, this really hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we never have to go through this again.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that you're not perfect, just like I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to move on because I still have your best interest in mind,
mm-hmm.
because I'm committed to you.
Right. Right.
And I'm going to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry, we have to practice letting it go. We
yeah.
have to let it go by keeping our mouth shut. That's change requires
mm-hmm.
the way that we do things.
Mm-hmm.
You see why I like this book? You see how
mm-hmm.
it applies many of the purpose-driven
sure.
principles?
Very practical.
The thing is that if I continue to hold on to those, then I can't have intimacy with my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
My spouse is not going to want to have intimacy and share himself with me if I constantly bring up his mistakes. So that is very big, and that's how God restores
mm-hmm.
a relationship, is by forgiving. And Larry, forgiveness is a choice.
It really is. And if you can't exercise the choice, you can find the power and the renewal through prayer.
That's right. That is right. Obviously, over all of this, we can't even put these things into application without God's power in our life.
That's right.
We're not inclined to any of this.
Right.
It all sounds wonderful. It's all a great plan. But without God's power, Larry,
mm-hmm.
we are powerless to be able to learn to love in this way.
And to be changed way. And to be changed into loving this way.
Exactly.
You know, that's change. The whole idea of enrichment is change, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. It is all about change. Forgiveness, and I'm going to talk about forgiveness because I know that our carnal natures take us to a place where we make a lot of mistakes, and there are many people out there that have not been able to forgive spouses for things. So I want our listeners to know that the best thing that we can do with the failures of the past is to let them be history. That's the best thing that we can do. It happened. It hurt. It can't be erased. It has to be history. We can choose today to be free from yesterday's failures. We can choose, because forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a commitment. It is a commitment, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
It is a choice to show mercy,
mm-hmm.
not to hold the offenses up against the offender. Forgiveness is an expression of love.
Amen. That is, without it, a marriage is doomed.
Yes.
If the spouses cannot forgive one another, the marriage will not last.
It will never last.
It will never last.
That's right, Larry. And so it's very, very, very important that we learn. And forgiveness says, I love you. I care about you. I choose to forgive you, even though my feelings of hurt might linger.
Mm-hmm.
Because a hurt, you know, somebody stomps on your toe and says, I'm sorry.
No, it's sore for a long time.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I will not allow it to come between us.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Isn't that what God does, Larry?
Yes, exactly.
So if we're becoming more like Jesus and we are committed to learning to love,
mm-hmm.
we have to learn to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
We have to. To say that I am a Christian and to hold failures against someone is really saying I'm not a Christian. I'm just pretending to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be committed to this change.
Well, don't you think that in a marriage, sometimes we hang on to the failures of the other to keep from looking bad at the next time we fail?
You bet. The carnal nature screams, "You're worse than I am." Loud and clear. We feel so good when we can say, "You're worse than me."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole reason for not forgiving?
Yes.
Is so that we can say to our spouse, you know, "You really are worse off than I am."
Yes.
You know, "I'm better than you are."
Yes.
And me then, first, me most, me best.
Always. And then that pride robs God of glory.
Yes.
So it's
and the
it's
marriage of
thing.
Happiness.
That's right. And God promises, Larry, if we are willing to give, it'll come back to us tenfold.
Yes,
I mean, it's if we are willing to give, and we have to trust that God is taking us through the experiences in our marriage, that He can teach us to forgive, that He can teach us to love, and that He can teach us to ultimately care about the well-being of our spouse over our own well-being.
Yes.
That takes us to humble words, because love makes requests, not demands. "Honey, would you please take the trash out?"
Mm-hmm.
Love does not demand, and love gives choice. So because my love language is acts of service, Larry,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I ask my husband to take the trash out, I ask. I don't demand. If I need him to do something for me, I'm giving a choice.
All right. Now, when you first introduced this to me, you will remember that I was concerned.
Yes, you were.
That acts of service were really acts of compliance.
Yes.
Because if you asked him to take out the trash and he didn't, there'd be a price to pay.
Be paid.
So what choice does he have?
To not do it, yeah.
And what will be the consequences?
The consequences, I take the trash out myself. I mean, honestly, in truly learning to love, we have to give choice, because love is about choice, Larry. So when I ask my husband to take the trash out, you know, and 99% he does it.
Yes.
But if he's busy doing something and he says, "Letty, I can do it, but it's going to have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
If I need it done now, then I need to go do it myself."
Well, see, that was a concern to me, you know, when you first introduced this to me. I thought that, you know, Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you."
Yes.
And I was afraid that this was turning into playing God, you see, with this acts of service.
Yes.
But if you ask someone to do something, and you truly do offer them a choice not to do it, then that's love.
That is love.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. I have a need. Would you meet it?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it's going to be yes, but when it's not and it can't be met, it can't be about me.
And it can't be met every time.
No, it can't be. That's right.
I mean,
we can't have a person just at our beck and call every second of the day. That's
right.
Just unrealistic, and it's totally not being Christ-like.
No.
An example here. A loving wife says, "Honey, do you think it would be possible for you to clean the gutter this week?" A domineering wife says, "If you don't get those gutters cleaned out soon, they're going to fall off the house. They already have trees growing out of them." So, you know, how we use our words
mm-hmm.
is very important.
Mm-hmm.
When we make a request of our spouse, we are affirming his worth and abilities. When we make demands, we become a tyrant.
Yes. And that was the thing that was concerning me about these languages when I was first introduced to the idea, you know.
Yes. Larry, a request creates the possibility for an expression of love.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving your spouse the opportunity to express
mm-hmm.
love to you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they can and sometimes they may not.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give up on it.
Mm-hmm.
You
right,
know?
Right.
Yes. The other language, dialect of love is using indirect words. It's telling you, "Oh, Larry, Kelly did an unbelievable job painting the house. Just wait till you see it."
Mm-hmm.
Indirect words, because then Kelly's going to hear about it through, "Wow, Letty said you did a great job."
Mm-hmm.
And that's even going to even make him feel mm-hmm. more wonderful if his word, if his love language is words of affirmation.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So the neat thing about the book is it gives many, many suggestions for those that may not know where to start.
I see.
On things to do
uh-huh.
To express your spouse's love language. Let's talk about quality time. That undivided attention. And Larry, who has time to give undivided attention today?
Mm-hmm.
So it's making a choice to take the time
mm-hmm.
to love. Quality time can be togetherness. If Kelly and I both love golfing, we go off and golf together and spend quality time together. Some people like to sit down and talk. Kelly loves to sit down and talk. Everybody knows Kelly knows he's a talker. So sitting down and me listening to what his day was like or hearing him tell me all about his music lesson today, that's meaningful to him. That's me saying, I love you, in his language.
Mm-hmm.
So learning to talk for some people may be difficult, Larry. Some people may not be able to sit down and have a conversation. If we have let artificial stimulation be our life, some people have the TV on in their houses all the time, or the radio, or the talk shows.
Okay.
And so taking time away from all that stimulation will be a challenge. But if your spouse's love language is quality time, you have to be willing to shut out children, the phone ringing, the TV, and give one-on-one time.
What if your spouse is wants quality time, but what your spouse wants to discuss is in no way of interest to you?
Okay.
For example, let's suppose your spouse wants quality time, and her love is shopping, you know, for clothing. And the guy says, you know, a blue jean and a t-shirt is all I really am interested in. So what are they going to talk about? You know?
Did you find something in your color today, honey? How much money did you save?
How many times?
Those shoes and that purse match so nicely. You hearing me, Larry?
How do you engage in a conversation upon which you know nothing? And what can you say about things where there's no understanding?
Where did you go? You're going to have to find questions that deal with their like. And obviously, that shouldn't be what you talk about every time. You know,
Shopping? What else is there?
Okay, I'm a woman, and I know there are other things other than shopping.
Well, I'm trying to help our listeners get a grip on quality time. Is a tough one.
Yes, it is. Larry, my husband is taking guitar lessons right now, and he is thrilled about every lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I have no interest in learning bar chords.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? For 15 to 30 minutes, I will sit down and just let him go on and on about bar chords until I just can't take it anymore. Then I say, honey, got to go fix supper. And he is so happy that I even sat there and listened.
Yes, I can see. I can see that. I can see that the one-on-one, full attention, even though the subject material may be one-sided,
yes,
really does meet that need.
Yes.
And that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yes, to be willing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because you can go there to many other things.
Sure.
But yeah, that is what not focusing on self is all about.
Yeah. You know, many, many marriages have that quality time when the credit card charges arrive.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
They said, how did they have a one-on-one?
Hand over your card.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I wanted to bring up in this love language is understanding personality types. Because Gary Chapman says that there are two basic personalities. One is called the Dead Sea. The personality, this is all about conversation, right? We're talking about learning to talk and communicate. The Dead Sea personality is willing to sit there and listen. Oh, Larry, they are the best listeners. But they have a very difficult time sharing and giving and talking about themselves. Then you have the other side of the coin, what he calls the babbling brook. Oh, the babbling brook loves to talk so much that as soon as something happens, she will pick up the phone. I'll use she because, you know, men think that women are the talkers, but they haven't met my husband. Babbling brooks love to talk, pick up the phone, mm-hmm. talk to people. They're always mm-hmm. wanting to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So if a Dead Sea and a Babbling Brook are married, woo, at first it's going to be great
mm-hmm.
because he will listen to everything she has to say.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, the Babbling Brook likes to have some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And so the balance is that Dead Seas need to learn to babble, and Babbling Brooks need to be dead a little bit. You know, it's learning that balance of learning to listen and learning to talk and learning to share, because every good marriage has good communication.
Yes.
We're willing to be listeners.
Yes.
And so it's a very neat thing. Once you learn this, you immediately start pegging people. Dead Sea, Babbling Brook.
You know, a marriage enrichment class is a fun thing.
It is.
Because it's so revealing.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's so helpful in expressing and explaining things that because of the contest that often goes on between wills.
Yes.
That you don't see the bigger picture.
That's right.
Because you're in the picture.
Yes. That's right, Larry. There's so much other information, but I just want to give you a snapshot of these, and I hope that our listeners will invest some time into reading this book. It's very, very helpful. The third love language is receiving gifts. And gifts are a symbol of love. And to the person whose love language is gifts, there's nothing more thrilling than receiving a gift. I mean, it just rings their bell. They feel loved. They're emotionally filled. And gifts come in all sizes. There are expensive gifts, and others are free. To the individual whose primary love language is receiving gifts, the cost won't matter. You know, and so it's not about going out of bounds and going into credit card debt to please mm-hmm. somebody that has mm-hmm. Gifts. That will rarely come into play. It's one of the easiest love languages to learn, Larry.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yes.
Throw 20 bucks at it.
That left tank is full. And, you know, if you're not very creative, there are many, there are friends and relatives around, moms, sisters, that could help with
sure.
learning how to pick out gifts and what have you.
Sure.
So if you're going to become an effective gift giver, you'll have to change your attitude about money. Instead of wanting to invest it in the future, you're going to have to mm-hmm. invest it in today.
Instead of putting it in the stock market,
exactly.
you got to put it in the spouse.
You bet. And to those that have the gift being their love language, sometimes the gift of self, somebody's presence, is going to be even more important.
Yes.
If you're going through a rough time, mm-hmm. We recently lost my father, and having people around giving themselves, mm-hmm. they were a gift.
Yes.
And it's a spoke
yes.
so much love
yes.
to our family.
Yes.
So,
well, tell me a little bit about how do we detect what our love language is.
Well, Larry, I have a friend who is constantly telling me that her husband never buys anything for her.
Mm-hmm.
He never brings her flowers.
Mm-hmm.
He never writes her a card.
Mm-hmm.
That's ringing like
the red light is flashing.
You know,
sirens are going. I
yes.
need gifts.
And Larry, because my love language is acts of service, I'll mm-hmm. say, he irons your clothes, girl. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
He fixes your food.
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
Yeah.
And he's saying, but he never buys me flowers. He never... Now that I understand this,
yeah.
see, I can...
Makes perfect sense.
Oh, it does. It makes such perfect sense.
Yeah.
And we're going to run out of time, so I'm going to get into acts of service because it's the one I know so well. It's my favorite language. Acts of service can be anything. It can be taking out the trash, making the bed, doing the laundry, mowing the yard, grocery shopping, changing diapers, picking up the dry cleaning, anything that your spouse would like for you to do for him or for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my love language. It does not mean that you become a doormat. And
now,
you started kind of talking about that
yeah.
a little bit. It's not about, oh, my wife's love language is acts of service, so I'm going to be a slave and, you know, I'm going to be kicked around. I'm going to have to be doing stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not about that.
It's not about slavery.
and it's not about slavery or manipulation by guilt. If you don't do this for me, I'm not going to cook you supper tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not at all about that. So it's about learning to do things. And obviously, Larry, it's all about attitude, because I have committed myself to the Lord to learn to love and to be transformed mm-hmm. into a vessel of love. Mm-hmm. Then I am going to look for ways to love. Mm-hmm. And if my spouse needs this or my children need this, there's mm-hmm. a whole book on the love languages of children. I'm going to learn to love them in the way that they need to be loved. Mm-hmm. I am not going to be self-centered and continue to love with acts of service.
Mm-hmm. In other words, is it true that your love language is both the incoming and outgoing language?
Yes. We love in what we're the most familiar with.
So a person may feel most loved when others do acts of service for them.
Yes, yes.
And in turn, they show love by the same way that they receive love. Is that what
That's
you're...
exactly right. I'm telling my husband, I wash your clothes. I'm expressing all of these acts of service that I would be totally elated that anybody would do for me to wash, do my laundry and my clothes. See?
Okay.
So because I'm so familiar with that, that's how I'm giving love. That's how I want love.
All right. So your primary, number one love language is acts of service.
Yes.
What would be your...
My secondary love language is words of affirmation.
I see.
But if my husband only says, honey, you know, thank you for fixing this meal, and thank you for, mm-hmm. but he never takes the garbage out when I ask mm-hmm. him to, mm-hmm. I will not feel loved. Yeah.
So the second language has to be an adjunct
yes.
to the main
yes.
language.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The emotional tank can be filled by all the love languages if the primary love language is being met. I mean, I love for my husband to hug me. I'm not at all a gift person, but if he brings me flowers from time to time, it's so
sure.
sweet, and I hug him and I appreciate it.
Yes.
But all the flowers in the world are mm-hmm. not going to mean more to me than the trash being taken out.
Well, knowing how much trash you generate,
exactly.
I can understand your statement.
That's exactly right. Okay, let's talk about physical touch. And this is a subject that we could talk about for a long time, but Larry, physical touch is more than just a sexual relationship. To the person who needs touch, there's holding hands mm-hmm. is important. Just sitting next to somebody on the couch mm-hmm. is important.
Mm-hmm.
It makes them feel loved. It's not just about sexual intimacy. So without physical touch, they feel unloved. So if my husband's love language is physical touch, and I'm telling him nice words, and I'm doing his laundry, mm-hmm. and I buy him a present, mm-hmm. he's not going to feel loved at all. So, but if I give him hugs every morning, mm-hmm. and touch his hair and stroke his head and put my arms around him, mm-hmm. make sure that I'm doing it every day.
Yeah, some people sit in church, you know, as though they're on their first date.
Yes. Yes.
Or the third date, yes. as the case may be.
Exactly.
and you can almost tell who has that particular
yes.
language of love.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. It can be holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
People that hold hands all the time mm-hmm. are physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem here is that many men assume that mm-hmm. physical touch is their primary love language. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to take the test.
Yes.
My husband was surprised. Just off the top of his head, as I started mm-hmm. Talking about these, I mean, boink, mm-hmm. I'm physical touch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, liking sex does not mean it's about physical touch.
Yes.
So learning more about yourself, you'll learn that if you do the test.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wind it down here by saying that if we are committed to learn to love, please start being aware of your spouse's needs. At all costs, even if you say, honey, what is the thing that I can do for you that makes you feel loved?
All right. The first and last commandment of marriage enrichment is this. If you're going to improve your marriage, you've got to find something to give.
You have to find something to give.
And what yes. better gift to give than the language of love that your spouse needs?
Amen. That's right, Larry.
I've really appreciated this, Letty. And I'd like to say to our listeners, if you're interested in Letty conducting a seminar, please contact us. Let us hear from you. Letty has a tremendous inspirational material to share and experiences that will only make your life better. She can share experiences and knowledge that will just make a difference in your life, as we pray that this little short seminar has done.
Yes.
It's been a real joy to be with you, Letty, here in Round Rock.
Thank you, Larry. My
and
privilege.
May God bless you in your ministry.
Thank you.
As you are reaching out and touching people, new people, every day. And you're certainly in our prayers. May God be with you.
Thank you.